our Lord. The very lifestyle that they lived. They were accused of incest. Well, they called one another brother and sisters. I mean, even husbands and wives referred to one another as brother and sister. They must be practicing incest. They accused the Christians of cannibalism. Well, they eat and drink the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard them say that in reference to taking all of Jesus in and in reference to the Lord's Supper. And so it was a dark time in the world at that period of time, a very dark time. We might see a number of parallels in the things I've just described in some of the things that are going on in our world even today. And so the Apostle Peter writes for them a very practical letter. Really practical. How are you to live? What are you to do in this dark world that you're living in? If it was practical for them, guess what it'll be for you and I? It'll be practical for you and I. So read it with me. I'm in 1 Peter now, chapter 3. And we're going to begin in verse number 13. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Get that? Don't be afraid of their terror, and don't be troubled. Wow, in that dark world, don't be afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Rather, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. And the word conversation in the King James Version simply means the way you live your life, your lifestyle. That they may be ashamed when they accuse your good lifestyle, the good way you live your life in Christ Jesus. I mean, you could simplify it. What shall we do? We could simplify it by saying, Peter said, be real. Be followers of that which is good. That word followers, it comes from the same word that we get our word zealous from. In fact, you may be reading from a translation right now that's the way it renders it rather than followers. It may render it zealous. Zealous. Verse number 13. Zealous of that which is good. Followers of that which is good. Be real. This is no time to be fake. This is no time to be phony. This is a time for Christians to be real, real zealous of that which is good, Peter says, and be ready. Be ready. Be ready always to give an answer of the hope that is in you. Be ready. Be ready. So, hey, we're basically through. We're basically through. But y'all want more than that, right? You want more than that. Okay, so about 2 o'clock now, I have your permission, about 2 o'clock. I will try to get you out before then. But I want you to notice with me, quickly, the how then are we to live? This is what we are to do. Peter says, you can do it. You can do it. You can shine in this dark world. But here's what you must do. You must enthrone Christ as Lord. The King James Version puts it this way. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Verse number 15. Give him the place. Give him the position that he is deserving of. Paul will say in Colossians chapter 3. Give him the preeminence. He's to have the preeminence. He's to be number one. He's to be the Lord. He's to be the Lord. Let me ask you something. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? I didn't ask you, have you been baptized? I didn't ask you, well, do you attend once in a while? Do you attend on something? I didn't ask you that. Is the Lord, is He on the throne of your life? Because you know what an idol is? You know what an idol is? An idol is anything that you love more, that you fear more, that you serve more than you do the Lord. That's an idol. What do you love the most? I mean, if you'd be real honest, no fake, because God knows, right? Who do you love the most? Is He on the throne of your life? Who do you fear the most? What or who do you fear the most? Because whatever your answer is, that's who's on the throne of your life. Who do you serve the most? Or what do you serve the most? Because whatever that is, or whoever that is, that's who's on the throne of your life. Can you imagine a marriage, a wedding ceremony taking place? Maybe right here in your building. And Jim and Jane, I mean, they've just said their vows. They've just walking out the door, and you start throwing rice at them, or now bottles of bubbles. Are you supposed to blow those bubbles? Don't throw the bottle. But you're throwing that rice, all that kind of thing. They get in the car, and they begin to go off. And Jane says to Jim, Jim, would you take me home? Jim says, well, Jane, we're on our way to our honeymoon. The house that we're going to be living in, it's not quite ready, but in about a week, while we're on our honeymoon, they're preparing it, they'll be finished when we come home. Then, when we come back, then I'll take you home. She says, oh, no. Jim, see, there's something you need to understand. Jim, we are married. I understand that. We are married. And I know you love me, and any other love that you have toward me, I'll just keep heaping it. Just keep bringing it to me. Keep giving it to me. Jim, we're married, and I know you love me, and I want you to continue to love me, and I want you to continue to do for me. But Jim, I want you to take me to my mama's home, because that's where I plan to live. And Jim, that's where I can plan to live from now on. Jim, you take me to my mama's home and you keep your hands off my life. It's my life. I'll live it the way I want to. Now, what kind of marriage is that? And yet, that's exactly the way some Christians act, right? Oh, we've gone through the ceremony. We're now married to Christ. We're His bride. Ephesians chapter 5, Revelation chapter 21. We're now His bride. But Jesus, you keep your hands off my life. It's my life. I'll live it the way I want to. Now, I want you to continue to bless me. I want you to continue to be my Savior. Listen, folks, if you don't want Him for what He is, you cannot have Him for what He gives. You need to understand that. I'll say it to you again. If you're not willing to accept Him for who He is, don't expect Him to give you what He gives. Listen to this verse. We're familiar with it. Romans chapter 10, verses 9, beginning. But if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you confessing? What are you acknowledging? He's the Lord. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart. And the heart in the Bible is always the mind. It's the intellect. If thou would confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know what we need, folks? In this dark world, we need people who have made the connection between the heart and the mouth. It's not just words to them.
He's the Lord. He's the Lord.
But the connection has been made in the mind, so we have a renewed mind. You can shine as bright lights in this dark world. You can do it. You can do it. But you must enthrone the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be Lord. And there must be no doubt about it. He must be the Lord of your life. Number two, you can shine as bright lights in this dark world, but you must be ready to give an answer. Look again, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to give an answer to every man, to any man, the hope that is within you. Be ready to give an answer. Maybe the better question is when was the last time you were asked about the hope that is within you? When's the last time anyone even asked you? What makes you tick? What makes you so different from everybody else? I see it. What makes you tick? During the 1940s, there was a famous atheist in Germany by the name of Banga. Banga enjoyed standing in front of Christians and saying, if you want me to believe that Jesus is your Redeemer, you're going to have to look a little more redeemed. Let that sink in. If you want me to believe that Jesus is your Redeemer, you're going to have to look a little more redeemed. When's the last time you were asked about the hope that was in you? And if you haven't been asked, why not? Is it because there's not anything different in you than there is in the world? Does the world see nothing different in us? They're never going to ask us, why are we different if we're not different? We must be then different, enthroned Christ on his throne as Lord of our lives. The world will recognize, the world will see it. When they do, they'll ask us, what makes you tick? And then be ready to give an answer of the hope that is within you. And the answer is not, well, hold on just a minute. Let me go get my preacher. That's not the answer. Who's to have the answer? Your preacher? He better have. He better have. But who else is to have the answer? I don't even have to tell you, do I? I don't have to tell you. We can shine as bright lights in this dark world, but we must be ready to give an answer. An answer of the hope that is within us. Thirdly, we must be ready to give an answer of the hope that is within us with meekness and with fear. We can shine as bright lights in a dark world, but we must practice genuine humility. Listen, folks, this is no time. It was no time then, it's no time now to be flaunting your righteousness. They'll recognize it. When we enthrone the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll recognize there's something different in our hearts. But we practice humility. Humility is not weakness. Humility is strength under control. And we recognize that. And we practice humility. Humility. What does a lost world need? Well, I'll tell you what Jesus saw that they needed. Jesus condemned those who flaunted their righteousness, and he condemned those who were hypocritical. But if a man was caught up in the sin of money and greed, he ate and drank with them, didn't he? Didn't he eat, receive sinners and publicans? Luke chapter 15, verse number 1. Didn't he go to the house of Zacchaeus, who was the chief publican? Luke chapter 10. How about someone who'd been caught up in whatever? He was always humble, meek. He was always that way. Sometimes I see us almost boastful about our wrath toward what's going on in the world. We're boastful. Well, I'll tell you, I stand for this, and let me show you a passage. Keep your finger here because we're coming back. But I'm taking you to James chapter 1, verse number 19, beginning. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Here it is, folks. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Your wrath against all of this stuff that's going on is not working the righteousness of God. We must walk in genuine humility, in meekness and in fear. Fear, that holy reverence, that awesome respect that we have for our Lord God. And if we do, we'll be shining as bright lights in this dark world. That's what they would have been doing. That's what we would have been doing. You can shine. You can shine like a bright light in this dark world. But if you do, you're going to have to live an exemplary lifestyle. An exemplary life. We've been looking just in verse 15. Look at verse number 16. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they say, instead of saying, that's a worker of good there. That's a worker of good. They say, oh, that's a worker of evil. That's an evildoer. But it's false. They speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed, that falsely accuse your good conversation, your good lifestyle, the good way you live your life in Christ Jesus. Oh, we can serve as bright lights in a dark time. But we're going to have to live exemplary lives. We're going to head over to the chapter just before this in a second. But just move your finger up just a little ways in this chapter. Look at verse number 9. Look at verse number 9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile, let him do no evil, askew, do no evil. Let him turn from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. We must live exemplary lives. Look back over into chapter 2. Look at verse number 12. Chapter 2, verse number 12. Having your conversation, again, the word means lifestyle. The way you live your life. Having your life honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. See, the Lord's coming back someday, folks. And when he comes back, all the falsehood is going to be done away, and they're going to have to tell the truth. So be honest among the Gentiles. Be honest out there. This congregation, this group of people, should be void of all scandal. Be honest among the Gentiles. And even though they speak evil of you, as if you were an evildoer, the Lord's returning someday. And when he does, what will they have to admit? Those Christians, they lived a life of example. They lived a life of example. So you can shine. You can shine as a bright light in this dark time. But you're going to have to live that superior lifestyle. You can shine as a dark light. As a bright light in this dark world. You can. But you're going to have to practice genuine love. Look at verse number 8 of chapter 3. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Be courteous? That sounds like the world we're living in. No, that's not the world we're living in, but that's the life we live, isn't it? We got to live this. We got the opportunity. This is the greatest opportunity that in my lifetime that I have ever had to shine as a bright light. The darker the world gets, the brighter our lives should shine. Shouldn't they, Christians? The brighter we ought to shine. But we're going to have to practice genuine love on one another. But that's okay. That's what our Lord instructed, right? John chapter 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you, even so love you one another. By this, all men will know. They're my disciples. You're my disciples. Practice genuine love in a world that just... It seems like there is no love manifest any longer. There is none. There is none. I'm like Mark. I don't follow sports very much, but Beverly does, and so it's generally on. And I think it was last night we were sitting there after a disappointing loss. And on the channel that we were watching, one of the reporters, they standing outside the stadium. I don't even know where that was played for sure, but standing outside the stadium, and he said, we had to move because some of the things that were being said by the Arkansas fans wasn't anything we need to be having broadcast on television. That's a football game, folks. That's a football game. Well, what do we have the opportunity to do? We have the opportunity to be different, don't we? We have the opportunity to shine as bright lights in a dark time. Now, when you do, as you do this, there are some things that are just going to happen. As you do, next slide, please. As you do, here's what's going to happen. Can you hit me one more? Thank you. When you do, people are going to ask questions. What makes you so different? What makes you tick? And when you do, and you're ready to give an answer, right? You're ready to give an answer, and you give it with humility. And you give it with reverent fear toward God. He's the Lord. I'm just the servant. He's the Lord. He's the master. And you do it with humility, coupled with a lifestyle that's consistent with the things that you say. An exemplary lifestyle. A lifestyle that is coupled with genuine love. They see it. They're going to want to be followers too. They're going to want to be followers too. You say, oh, I've heard that all my life. That's never played out for me. That's never played out for me. Look, would you believe your Bible? You remember in Acts chapter 16? When Paul and Silas have been thrown into prison, Everybody else, can you imagine what it was like in that jail cell? Everybody else is in that jail cell is moaning. They're complaining. It's cold. It's dark. These chains are rubbing my wrists. They're irritating my ankles. This food is awful. What were Paul and Silas doing? They were singing and praising God. And an earthquake came, right? An earthquake came. You know the story. The prison doors were open. The jailer thinks they've all my prisoners, they've escaped. So he comes in the door, and there's Paul and there's Silas. He doesn't ask anybody else in that jail, what makes you tick? He's not interested in anybody else but Paul and Silas. He's seen something different in them, hadn't he? He's seen something different. And he says, what must I do to be saved? He's just simply saying, what must I do to have what you have? What must I do? Well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and all your house, and you shall be saved. He took them the same hour of the night. He washed their sins. They taught him, didn't he? And they and all their house were baptized straightway that same hour of the night. They were baptized. What were they? What were Paul and Silas? Just bright lights. Just bright lights in a dark world. They were just living it. Just what we've been talking about. Very practical. Just living it. And because they lived it, someone asked a question. And that someone became a follower of Jesus Christ, and so did his household. That can happen with us, folks. That's what is supposed to be happening with us. You see, you can shine as a bright light in the dark world. You can. There's not any doubt about it. You can. That's not the question. The question is, will you? Will you? Because that's where the rubber meets the road. It's not can we. We can. We can. The question is, will we? Will we? I pray that we will. This morning, there may be some here who aren't Christians. We pray that our lives have been lived in such a way that as if you've looked at us, that's what's brought you to us. And you're here asking the question, what do I have to do in order to have the same thing you have? We'll help you with the answer. Very quickly, the answer for someone who's not yet a Christian is to believe. Believe with all your heart. Believe. First century Christians believed. When Peter wrote this book, Nero was on the throne. Nero was on the throne. Nero wanted to remodel Rome. Rome had become old, had some slums in it, areas in it. Nero wanted to remodel Rome, so Nero set fire to Rome. The people who had lost their homes in that fire rose up against Nero. And someone suggested to Nero, why don't you blame it on those Christians? They talk about setting the world on fire anyway. Just blame it on Christians. And so they did. And so they began to take the Christians one by one. And in addition to the Colosseum action, the historians tell us that they would take those Christians and strap them to crosses. Douse them with oil and set them afire to light the gardens and the pathways in Rome. And your brothers and sisters and mine did it without griping and did it without grumbling because Jesus was on the throne of their lives. How about us? How about us? They believed. They believed. You want to be a Christian? You're going to have the same kind of faith. The kind of faith that takes yourself off that throne and puts Christ on the throne of your life. You're going to have to change the way you've been living. You've been living for yourself. You've been living for the world. And you're going to have to live for Christ, to live for Him. But you'll want to do that. You'll want to do that. You'll want to make the confession with your mouth that's connected to what you believe in your heart, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and be baptized. Why? Because that's what the Lord said. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. So very simply, very quickly, if you're here and you're not a Christian, that's what it's going to require of you. And then to live for Him. To live for Him. So if you're here and you're not a Christian and you're ready to become one, then we're ready to help you with that. We've really been talking to those of us who are Christians, trying to get us to look at our lives. Are you shining? You can be. You should be. The question is, will you? If your life is not what it should be, we plead with you to repent. Repent. Let's change that. Let's change that. And if your brothers and sisters helping you by praying with you and encouraging you and knowing that, hey, I need this. I need this. If that's what it takes, then we encourage you to let us know as well. Whether it's to become a Christian or as a Christian, to ask for the help of your brothers and sisters in Christ, we give you the opportunity by making your way to the front. Would you come now as together we stand and sing?
Number 380. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to
seated.
I think I've asked you every week for the last 4 or 5 weeks. I don't know. I don't do time. Y'all know I don't do time. I live Sunday to Sunday. I don't do time. But you know I've asked you for the last 4 or 5 weeks, have you met the Johns family? Have you met the Johns family? If you haven't, you're a loss. You're a loss. You can make that better today, though. You can make that better today. Because this is Caden Johns, and Caden has come to be baptized this morning. And we just congratulate this family. Young people don't get to this point in their lives without their parents and teaching and encouragement. Have you seen that thing that's floating around? The first time I saw it was several years ago, where they have a tube of ping pong balls, 4,000 ping pong balls, 4,000 hours in a week. And then how many hours that the church has with them? 4 hours. Little bitty thing. It takes parents, doesn't it? And the church is, yes, we're the saved, but we're just helping those parents. It's the parents' responsibility. And we congratulate Clay and Rachel. And I'm sure your brothers had something to do with it too, right? Oh, this is a good young man. He even acknowledged his brother's helping him with it. So he's outstanding. This is his grandfather, Freddie Brown. Brother Brown and his wife have come all the way from Tennessee for this special day in their grandson's life. And Brother Brown is going to be baptizing Caden into Christ. We'll ask Caden. Do you mind, Caden, coming forward? Caden, there has a confession that has been made from ever since Christ died on the cross. From the day of Pentecost on, people have made a confession about their faith in Christ, that they believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Caden, do you mind making that confession?
Yes.
Go ahead. I believe that
Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Ah. Isn't that precious? That's just precious. Let's pray together. We'll have this baptism. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that your Son still saves. Thank you for your great love for us in sending Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for young souls like that of Caden who want to be a follower of Jesus Christ early in life and then live his life faithful all the days of his life. We thank you for his decision. We pray, Heavenly Father, you'll be with those of us who strive now to encourage him in his daily walk as he encourages us. We thank you, Father, for loving us, and it's your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Would you help Brother Brown? He'll need some help with the, on that side. You come with me. He'll need some help with those waiters. Okay. All right. We'll do this. Has anyone in here got a cell phone? Does anyone have a cell phone? Does it take pictures? Would you mind taking pictures? I didn't think I had to ask you. Thank you. They'll take pictures.
Let's sing number 454. Number 454.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
And at Calvary, y'all let me know if they come into the water and we're good. All right. Okay. Good. So just hold on that, black that screen for a second.
Based upon your confession, baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins.
Hayden's now a brother in Christ, and Thomas is going to lead us in a few more songs while he gets dressed. But he wants to observe the Lord's Supper this morning. We can wait around for that, can't we? I mean, I think our Bible even says for us to do that, doesn't it? We can wait around for that. So if some of those men would make sure that there's a tray up here for him, Thomas will lead us in a couple songs, and he gets back out, we'll be with him as he observes his first communion service with us.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great, grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great, grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary.
We'll hold right there for just a moment. I think you'd be ready pretty quick, so we'll hold there for just a moment.
Would you bow with me? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you now thanking you for saving another soul, Father, and we would like to extend the Lord's Supper to him now, and Father, be with him now as he partakes of this bread, which represents your Son's body on the cross, where he died for our sins. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we offer thanks for this cup that's before us. We thank you for the opportunities that we have, Father, to remember. We remember, Father, that you died for our sins and that in baptism our sins are washed away. Every first day of the week, Father, we are blessed to be able to be together around this table as we partake of this cup of the New Testament, his blood shed for us. Let us remember that as we partake of it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. There's a song that we sing that's somewhere in the archives back there. I don't know, but it's We Welcome You. And so if you would, let's sing that together, and then we'll have our announcements, and we'll be dismissed in prayer. But let's sing We Welcome You to Caden. We welcome you to our family, and we hope you find the light of Jesus shining in this place, walking hand in hand. We will serve the Lord, and together we will celebrate his mercy and his grace. This is home for the lonely, to the tired, a place of rest. It's a house of devotion to the dearest and the best. We welcome you to our family, and we hope you find the light of Jesus shining in this place. Roger, would you have our announcements this time? And then Clay, I believe, has the closing prayer. There he is.
Thankful for your presence this morning. Good crowd. Do a few announcements before we dismiss. Prayer is needed for several members of our congregation. I ask that you remember Karen Lambert. She's going to be undergoing an MRI in the near future and some additional tests to